According to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems like for us human beings, there's a sense that we quite never have enough. We're always wanting more. And even when we have that feeling of full satisfaction, it's a fleeting feeling. It doesn't sit for long. It eventually goes away. And certainly there are many reasons in our world today that can facilitate such a feeling. We compare ourselves to other people. As the commandment warns against, we covet what our neighbors have. So we determine that we do not have enough or that we are lacking when we use other people as our measuring stick. In our age, social media makes this worse. We look at what other people are posting about their lives, about their families, which isn't even a real projection. It's a projection, but not always reality of what their lives and what their family life is like. And we use that as a measuring stick to compare their life or their projection of their life to ours. In our society, advertising and consumerism promote the notion that materialism is the key to having a happy and fulfilled life. Particularly in our culture, there's a high value on wealth and materialism as a sign of one's success. We celebrate that. Some people are wired either by nature or trauma of their past experiences to feel as if they can quickly fall into a life of scarcity. Because of that fear of one day not having enough, it can create a behavior of hoarding one's resources.
And then on a psychological level, I believe our brains are wired to remember the negative experiences of the past rather than the positive ones. So we might remember when we've lost more than we've gained. And that also creates a fear of not having enough. Now, we teach our children to share, but I don't know as adults we do a good job in living up to what we teach our children. In our culture, I'm not sure if we've encountered many Christians who take the Bible so literally that they insist that we follow the example of Acts chapter 2. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. These verses in Acts chapter 2 teach us about Christian life, community, and the stewardship we are called to. Now, let me be clear, this isn't a call to legalism or to try to impose a literalism based on this text. It would be hard, if not nearly impossible, to cultivate some kind of culture like that today. Yet at the same time, it is an invitation for each of us to evaluate our relationship with God, our relationship to the church, and our relationship to the community. To truly evaluate our sense of what it means to have enough. To not use the measuring sticks of this fallen world to determine if we're lacking or if we are successful. That, I believe, is absolutely what we're called to do when we hear this word. It's hard to see a need or to serve the common good when we see ourselves in competition with one another, when we are consumed with coveting what the other has. And in congregational life, we try to discern how to use our resources. We are often tempted to think if people truly need what we have, or if they deserve what we want to give. If they maybe might have enough and don't need any more. But as followers of Jesus, as people who seek to bear witness to God, do we have anything in common with God? Do we have anything in common with the God that we claim to worship and serve? Do we have anything in common with our God who creates and gives out of love? Do we have anything in common with our God who took on our humanity and ultimately giving his life so that our world would return to paradise? See, the type of community that we see in Acts is a community that is sharing more than just their possessions. They are bearing witness to the love and generosity of the God that they encounter in their community and in worship. And the good news is that when we encounter Christ, we realize that we have more than enough. And while never perfect, I think our own community can concretely point to how much we can do in this world, in this community, when we share things in common and distribute to those in need. I think of the quilts that our peacemakers make that are distributed throughout the world. Last week we heard of the impact that our 621 project was able to achieve in supporting the Cardington Community Food Pantry. Our Bountiful Backpacks ministry gives food to families that get them through the weekend. Our weekly community meal helps feed so many and provides a place of fellowship as well. Our facility provides a place for worship, for fellowship, and a recent renovation has helped to enhance our ministry and outreach to those in need among our church family and the community at large. In Acts, we see a community devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, and the breaking of the bread, which is a reference to the Lord's Supper. As the church, we are called to belong to something different than what the world asks us to belong to. In our world, we're told to compete with one another, to covet what others have. In our world, we are taught and told to see some people as expendable because scarcity is the driving force that there must be winners and that there must be losers. And that is theft, death, and destruction that we're invited to belong to. and to accept as the only way in which we can live in this world. And we are seduced by the empty promises of thieves and bandits. So are we to listen to the thieves and bandits of this world, or do we listen to the teachings of the apostles and the voice of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ? Our good shepherd overcomes the death and destruction of this world in laying down his life. And then Jesus shows us a new way, calls us to embody paradise now, so that people may encounter heaven today through the love of the body of Christ that is shared to all. In the book of Ezekiel, we have images that give comfort and hope to exiles. A vision of paradise that is restored and tended to by a shepherd. And in Ezekiel, the shepherd found that those that were missing and saved them from danger. The shepherd fed them on mountains and took them to the good water and grazing land. The sick and injured, it's a beautiful image of a shepherd that cares for us now, that cares for the world and the community today. A hope that we can cling to in the future, but also a promise we can live into in the present. Brock and Parker write this: when Christians gathered to share the bread of heaven, partaking in the Eucharistic feast, they entered the most concentrated form of paradise on earth, where living and dead communed with the risen Christ, and the banquet of abundance was spread for all. From feasting in paradise, they took strength to embody ethical grace in the world that God so generously loved. That's a description of how the early church lived. So the early church did not reduce the gospel to just information about Jesus. They did not reduce it to a solo endeavor in which we can live in a world and listen to thieves and bandits and remain unchanged by the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, the voice of our good shepherd, calls us to turn from a world that relishes in the death and destruction of others in order for the few to be filled, to con others in believing that they too can be among the elite if they just turn a blind eye to the injustice and just look out for themselves, ironically not only hurting their own self-interests in the long run, but also the self-interests of our neighbor. We are called to something different, and the voice of the Good Shepherd is calling us away from that, calling us to a new way of being human that involves living in a community around the teaching of the apostles, fellowship and the breaking of the bread, the word and sacrament. The good shepherd is leading us to abundant life now. Today, the voice of our good shepherd calls us together in Christian community to encounter the living God, to encounter heaven breaking in, and through all that is shared collectively, to be given to the community so that they may have life in abundance. In our response to a gracious God, we're giving people a tangible encounter with the concept of abundant life that our good shepherd desires for all. Because we hear a different voice here. We hear a voice from the good shepherd that says, you are forgiven. We hear the voice from our good shepherd that says, you belong. We hear the voice of a good shepherd that says, you are welcomed at my table. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Can we cling to this image of the shepherd that calls us back to paradise today? Because the shepherd image is not new, right? Like, this isn't a radical concept. It's common in church life. But do we really hold the implications of it in high regard? We even call, like, the congregation the flock, right? And the ordained minister, the pastor, the shepherd. But do we take seriously the impact of what that means for us today? Or do we just expect pastors to grow congregations and tell them what they want to hear? Do congregations want to share with one another in the community? Or are they looking out for themselves, hoarding what they have for a rainy day? Are we really invested in embodying the justice that God calls us to? Listening to the voice of our good shepherd. listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd that is speaking through the lives and witness of the oppressed and marginalized in our world? Or are we content with the status quo because we are invested in the competition that wants to grow and maintain numbers, to keep people happy, and to keep up that oppression and that marginalization? In doing so, we are not taking seriously the voice of the Good Shepherd. The community that we see in Acts chapter 2 is a community that saw abundant life as a reality in the present. And when we receive the good news that the love of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, is more than enough, then we will respond in ways both individually and collectively that give witness to God's grace in the world, that seeks to lift up the lowly and connect others in this world with a glimpse of heaven. Join to Christ and in communion with one another. In word and sacrament, we participate in a banquet of abundance. We feast in paradise right now. And our Lord is sending us into a world that He loves as we rejoice in this abundant life that we have received. No longer captive to scarcity and fear, but generosity and hope. For in hearing and trusting in the voice of our Good Shepherd, we know that